So, Saturday mornings with Ian Dayborn, and I'm joined in the studio by my special guest, Chris Carr, from the Hearing Healthcare Centre here in Cambridge. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Ian.
Nice to see you.
And you.
And we've sort of interrupted your Saturday because you're on your way to a classic car rally, I believe.
That's right, yes, one of my other hobbies.
With your rather lovely MG parked outside there. So how often do you keep that in a garage?
Yes. Presumably you do. It's garaged, yes. I've had it since 84.
Really? And how old is it?
It's 1950 and it has some local history. It was originally owned and raced by Archie Scott Brown, who went on to race the Listers.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. So, and have you had any members of his family contact you and ask to come and look at it or any of that kind of thing?
No, but when they did the blue plaque ceremony at the Marshalls Airport, there was a cousin who came up and sat in the car, got a photograph of him.
Yeah, very nice too. Well, we're not going to talk about cars. No. Maybe we'll get you back in to talk about cars another day.
Another topic, yes.
Indeed, yeah. But we've not met before. I know you're a regular here on Cambridge 105, mm-hmm. Hearing Healthcare Centre. Just remind us where you are, if anybody's...
We're in the High Street in Chesterton, 140 High Street, Chesterton. We also have centres in Peterborough, and now we've just recently opened last year in Saffron Walden.
I see. And how did you... presumably, are you an audiologist by background?
Yes. Well, I started way back in 1970 in London with a company called Amplivox, yes. Long since now gone. They did my training, and then I went into a large wholesale supply house based in London for audiological equipment. So I learned a lot more about my trade in that sort of field, covering hospitals, schools of the deaf and so on. And then eventually decided I want to work for myself rather than work for somebody else, and took the opportunity to take over a business here in Cambridge, which was Coulson's Chemists in Bridge Street.
Yes.
So that's really where it all started from, up here. But obviously I've been in the field for quite a long time, as you can imagine.
And you do quite a lot there at the Hearing Healthcare Centre, don't you? It goes right from what I would describe as, quite routine basic stuff like ear syringing and wax removal, right up to dealing with some fairly complex hearing issues that people might have.
Yes, exactly. Hence the name. We basically cover the whole aspect of hearing. Our main business, obviously, is providing hearing instruments for people with hearing loss. But obviously we like to deal with prevention as well as cure. And so we do a whole range of specialist ear protection, custom-built ear protection for people like shooters, motorcyclists, communication equipment for groups and so on, like these monitor molds that you see nowadays in most TV programs with groups. And that's very important with regard to the topic we're now talking about, because noise is one of the major causes for tinnitus.
Well, I was going to say, tinnitus, it's a well-known condition. It's a condition that affects many, many people. Mm-hmm. My own father-in-law suffers with it. I'm pleased to say that it's not something I've ever had, but I do remember quite a long time ago going to a gig at Dingwalls at Camden Lock, a big music venue in London. And the band that I went to see were particularly loud, and we were in there for a good two or three hours. And I remember that being the first time I'd ever come away from something, and I just had this ringing in my ears that went on for quite a long time. I think I woke up with it the next morning, and it did go, but presumably for a tinnitus sufferer, they've got that all the time, is that right?
Exactly, yes. I think most of us will have experienced short-term tinnitus from time to time, lasting a minute or two and then disappearing. That's the sort of sound that people suffer with continuously when they have what we call tinnitus, permanent tinnitus. Very often that is something that the majority of people will acclimatise to in just the same way as when you move house to a new area where there's different sounds that initially are quite distracting.
Yes.
And you get used to it and it becomes normal background sound. And fortunately for most people, that's what happens. But it is something that if it occurs suddenly for no particular reason, it's very necessary to have it checked first. Without being alarmist, but there are very rare occasions when things can be medically causing the problem, and that needs to be cleared before we do anything ourselves. So if we see somebody with a sudden onset of tinnitus or a sudden onset of hearing loss, obviously we will do our business first in terms of assessing that problem, but we will then refer them straight on for emergency checkout.
What are the kind of things that when you say, and we're not scaring people or anything like that, and I'm sure in the vast majority of cases, common things commonly occur, so you can rule out those serious things. But what, just so that people are aware that if they do get ringing, they should get it checked, what are the sorts of more serious conditions that it can indicate someone might have?
The most serious situation is an acoustic neuroma, which is a benign tumour on the hearing nerve.
Right.
And that typically will create a cause of tinnitus. And that does obviously need to be monitored. It's not something which is life-threatening unless it's ignored. So right. It is something we need to find out about, and then it is managed. So, and it is a benign type of thing. Other things that can cause it, which can cause a sudden change, is a large block of wax, which can, when you go swimming sometimes, the wax can suddenly get water in it and emulsify. And from being normally hearing, you come out of the bath and suddenly you find your hearing in one ear is blocked.
Yes.
And that can create a little bit of tinnitus because you're blocking off sound. So your internal noise, and we all have a certain amount of circuit noise. In fact, if you put normal hearing people into a soundproof booth, 90% of them will come out saying they heard some sort of noise in their head.
Really?
So this is why it's important to check hearing as well when there's tinnitus evidence in a client.
So if you have that temporary condition that you just described, mm-hmm. That effectively could be sorted out with, you know, syringing or wax removal of whatever method you use, mm-hmm. I guess then that's it. It's sorted. Good. No, yeah. No more problem. But there are forms of tinnitus which are not life-threatening or anything like that, mm-hmm. but that effectively I don't think you can cure, can you? Once you've got it, you've got it.
Yes. Occasionally there have been, I've known clients that have had tinnitus for some period of time and then it's disappeared. So it can sometimes come and go.
Yes.
But more often than not, once it's there, it's there. And as yet, although there's been loads and loads of research over many, many years into the causes of tinnitus, it's still not fully understood, some of the actual causes, and there still isn't a cure as such. There's certainly a lot of work that can be done and treatment that can be done to help assist anyone who really is wound up about tinnitus, which only is a small proportion of those who actually have tinnitus. And it's really the emotional reaction of that individual to the tinnitus that they've got as to how important it is to their life and how it affects them in everyday life. The tinnitus may be measurably very much the same as anybody else's tinnitus, but if that particular person is focused on it,
yes,
and can't break that spiral of anxiety, then it becomes a real problem.
So you were talking to me before we came on air, and you've given me a press release, actually, about a new treatment, I think, or a very modern type of treatment that you're able to now offer, and one of your patients has received this. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, this actually, it's not a new treatment. It's one of a number of treatments that
right.
we can offer.
Yes.
And in cases where hearing loss is part of the problem, hearing instruments are very much the best solution because they bring back natural environmental sound, which helps to push the tinnitus into the background. And one of the analogies I use to explain to people who've not had this problem is if you go into a darkened room with a candle, that's all you see and you can't see anything else.
Yes.
But if you switch the light on, then there's a lot of other things to take your attention away from the candle. And if you think of that in terms of somebody with a severe hearing loss, all they can hear is the tinnitus.
Yeah.
You put a hearing instrument in and they've got all the other things to listen to other than the tinnitus. And that helps them to push the tinnitus into the background. Very often it will assist them then when they take the hearing aid out to get to sleep at night. If they still have problems getting to sleep, then you can have noise generators which can produce very nice sounds like the seashore sounds or whatever you particularly like that can be fed through pillow speakers actually built into the pillows.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So it's not disturbing your partner, but you can still hear that gently in the background. Problem is, if you have a really profound loss, you would be able to hear that.
Yes.
If you've got normal hearing or fairly near normal hearing, then obviously it works.
So what I'm getting from this is there are a variety of treatments that you can use.
Yes.
And it's sometimes presumably a question of trying different things and finding out what works best for the yeah. individual.
Yeah. A lot of the problems can be tied in with stress. So relaxation classes and things like that can be very helpful. There's a treatment called tinnitus retraining therapy, which is first of all assessing the problem in its entirety for that individual and then tailoring the treatment accordingly, which is including relaxation courses and sound enrichment sounds to help take the focus away from the sound. This is for the real serious problems where people can't really break that link with the tinnitus. For the vast majority of people who we see, they very often will say, yes, I've had tinnitus, or it's there, but it doesn't bother me that much. Or since they've had hearing instruments, it's not been a problem. And in many cases where we see people ringing us, particularly for the fact that they've got some tinnitus, They may say, well, yes, I can't hear very well, but that's because of the tinnitus. It's actually the other way around, but obviously we have to treat the tinnitus first and then try and explain the reasons why using a little bit of enhancement of their hearing will help them to relax more and be able to break that link with the tinnitus.
And do some people find that are there forms of tinnitus that people will have off and on? It comes and it goes, or does it generally tend to be there once you've got it? You've got it.
Yes, it's generally there once you've got it. As I say, there have been cases that I've seen that have had tinnitus and it's gone.
Yes.
More often than not, that may be because they've been using hearing instruments, so they've lost the interest in it, so it's been pushed more into the background. But if they actually sit quietly in a room and think about it, they can actually hear it. So it might have been more important when it first appeared as a result of partly their hearing loss. They've done something about their hearing loss, and then they've realised the tinnitus isn't there anymore because they're hearing everything else other than the tinnitus. But it's very rare that you get tinnitus that sort of appears for, you know, several weeks and then disappears and then reappears again.
Right.
If that does happen, it's a bit of an unusual condition, and it would need possibly looking into from the reasons why. It might be something to do with perhaps blood pressure fluctuations that might create a problem there.
Hmm. Interesting. Well, listen, Chris, it's fascinating chatting to you about this, and I know you're going to come back, because hearing and people's hearing well-being and health is something that affects many, many people. I'm sure there are many wives out there thinking about their husbands who they're sure must be deaf because they never listen to what they're saying.
I know my one
will be. Yes, yeah. So we'll get you back in. Just remind us. So it's the Hearing Healthcare Centre. If people have got any worries or concerns, you're on Chesterton Road, and it's fairly
High Street. Chesterton.
High Street. I beg your pardon. Yes,
140 High Street, Chesterton.
And you just you've got a website.
Got a website. It's www.hearinghealthcarecentre.co.uk, and the phone number is 01223 360 700.
Excellent. Well, I know from my own experience, because as I said earlier on, I have used your services, although Chris didn't know that when he was coming in here, but I was very impressed, because I rang up in the morning and I was in the afternoon, and my ear had been sorted out by that day. So that was a fantastic service.
And we've also provided some ear protection for Neil as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. When he went to the rock concert in the other side of Cambridge?
That's good. I'm pleased to hear Neil's looking after his ears. Well, listen, Chris, I'm gonna let you get off to your car rally. Thank you for coming in.
Pleasure.